Welcome to this Expert HR podcast. My name is Noelle Murphy, and today I'm joined by Fiona Cumming, Employment Law Editor at Expert HR, to talk all things Football World Cup. Despite the fact that the Republic of Ireland, the greatest football team the world has ever seen, didn't make it to the World Cup starting on June 14th, it's still set to be a fantastic occasion and one that employers can benefit from in terms of employee morale. So if we take a look at the fixture list for the tournament, is there anything that employers can do or anything they should keep an eye out for in terms of employees watching the games?
Well, there's 32 nations taking part, 63 matches, and well, the England times, if you're a 9-to-5 worker and if you're supporting England, then that's an easy one for employers, but not if you employ shift workers or if you rely on weekend staff as well. And of course, not everyone's going to be supporting England because we've got a multicultural workforce, so they'll be supporting different teams. And even if you're an England supporter, you may be wanting to watch some of the really big games as well. And then also, if you support a club team, like I support Arsenal, well, seven of my players are going to be in the World Cup for seven different countries, so I will be supporting those countries. And other fans like that will be. I mean, Manchester City has 17 players, so there's a big interest across the spectrum.
Given that it's taking place in Russia, it looks like that the times, they're not going to be, for example, very early in the morning. They're all generally early evening or late afternoon. Is that right?
I think so, yes, because it's going across actually 11 time zones in Russia. So some of them are at 7 o'clock, then there's ones on Saturdays at 3, then there's ones at 1. So there's a bit of a mixture. But if you're an employer, as I say, you could get caught depending on your business.
Yeah, so it's the nature of your working
exactly.
Patterns. Right, so say that an employer does want to maximise on the excitement amongst employees when it comes to a tournament like this. Is there anything that they should do in terms of setting out an approach to staff, whether it's formal or informal, about what is expected?
Well, that's right. Well, some employers may have a formal policy for sporting events and others may just adopt an informal approach. That would be just sort of setting out to your staff your expectations, you know, of what will be happening during that period. You may well want to make it a positive experience. So some employers will consider showing games on a large screen, possibly in communal areas. They may also want to provide refreshments during that period. Then they'll need to think whether they should be providing alcohol or not, again, depending on the operational needs of the business. Then they might want to consider relaxing any policy that they have for people using their own work computers or their own devices to allow them to use it during a game that they're interested in, or allowing employees to work flexibly. They could allow some shift workers to swap shifts, could relax dress codes, and you could make it really cross-cultural by having the flags of all the 32 nations if you wanted to decorate the offices. And then also just having something small like a sweepstakes so they can think of all of those things to engage the workforce.
Okay, so we know from the research that we've done here at Expert HR that employers are less likely to have a formal policy in place. But I think what you're saying is that doesn't really matter. It's not necessarily that the policy has to be that formal, but just so long as the employer is thinking about the things that it could do for employees, such as relaxing working patterns or being a bit more flexible about working times so that matches can be watched and dress codes might be relaxed.
Yeah, and if they adopt that approach, they may reduce the risk of people taking unauthorised absence as well. And employers, whatever, whether they're making it very positive and engaging, they may want to talk to people about things like alcohol and conduct outside the workplace and reminding them of their policies. Because even if you are, you know, showing the games on the site, there are still certain rules that still have to be abided by. So employers can remind the workforce of that, but still with that positive tone.
So you mentioned some of the risks there that an employer needs to be mindful of when it's engaging with a tournament such as this. In doing that, do they need to set out their stall in terms of what's expected in terms of behaviour from employees?
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing they've always got to be careful of is the risk of banter suddenly becoming an act of discrimination, really. Because when you have got various members of staff all supporting different teams, things could get heated. Actually, it's probably quite helpful if I just mention one case here. It's an Employment Appeal Tribunal case, and it's the case of May & Baker Limited versus Ocarado. And in this case, a colleague asked the employee whether she would be supporting her own country or England in the World Cup. She said that she'd be supporting her own country, and he responded by saying, well, what are you doing here? Go back to that country. Now, the EAT found that to be an act of discrimination. So that's just an example of just the concerns that employers need to address, and just to make sure they let the employees know that one has to have sensitivity to other people supporting different teams. We're all going to be supporting different teams during this World Cup.
Well, I've found some Argentinian cousins, so I'm delighted. Okay, well, I think that's really important that you've highlighted that. I suppose essentially it's that employers need to remind employees to be respectful of their work colleagues, irrespective of the tournament ongoing. And banter is banter, but
There's a very thin line, and sometimes banter can slip over into discriminating, harassing comments. So yes, employers must remind their staff to be very careful.
So we mentioned the ways that you can avoid unauthorised absence, and that's about being open about the tournament and games that are going on. And that can help to encourage engagement amongst employees. Were there any other advantages that an employer can enjoy as a result of engaging with a Football World Cup?
Well, I think it's going to improve morale, and I think you're going to earn some good employee relation points. And if you've got happier workers, you generally have increased productivity. And it's also a good opportunity for employees to engage and interact with colleagues in other departments. And as I say, it could save managerial and HR time if you're embracing it rather than having people find ways to watch it outside their work.
And if you have employees that aren't interested in football, is there anything that an employer needs to be aware of?
Yeah, of course, there will be employees that aren't interested in football. Although I think even some employees that aren't interested may get an interest during the World Cup. Employers do need to be mindful of that, because employees that aren't interested in football don't want to feel that they're excluded from things. And also, if you are offering some sort of, say, flexibility on hours of work for people watching the World Cup, then they may want to consider at a later point in time offering some little sweetener or a benefit to those that probably have felt they've had to endure the World Cup.
So we've been through quite a few of the issues there. I suppose, are there any other issues that you think an employer should be aware of or should be mindful of when the tournament is ongoing?
Well, I've mentioned the unauthorised absence one, but and I'll just say a couple of things on that, because what employers may want to do if they have concerns that people might be avoiding work during that period is just to remind them or say that anybody that is absent during that period would have a return to work interview, or that they would need to speak to a certain person, because that may just stop people from going down that route. The other thing would be if someone gets drunk during the day, or they come in with a very bad hangover. So it would be reminding them again, if the employer has got an alcohol policy, of just responsibility during that period of time.
If an employee is looking to watch the game or follow the game on their work computer, mm-hmm. There's probably something there that the employer needs to remind employees.
Yeah, again, reminding them of any internet policy they have. And also, because while you might be happy to have employees using it for a period of time, you just want to be careful it's not excessive internet use to the point that no work is being done. But again, that will always be depending on the operational needs of the business, because in some places it may not be possible to allow that access in the first instance.
Okay, so we've spoken a lot about employees and employers managing situations in the workplace. What would happen if an employee got into trouble outside the workplace, for example, watching a football match or after a football match?
That can always be an issue, because there can be problems that emerge for employers regarding the conduct of their employees outside the workplace, or indeed, say, if employees are actually travelling to some of the matches themselves. Now, there's one case that is actually a case on that point, and that's Post Office v Lydiard, and that's a Court of Appeal case. Now, this concerns an employee This was in the 1998 World Cup, and he was travelled to France, and England were playing Tunisia, and some violent clashes broke out. Now, he admitted that he threw bottles at the fans, but he didn't admit what he was actually charged with, which was assaulting a police officer. So he was remanded in custody for a month, then he was tried and he was convicted. And in the meantime, this had got, as you can probably appreciate, quite a lot of press coverage in the UK. And indeed, it got as far as the Prime Minister, who told MPs that he hoped that strong action would be taken against football hooligans who were employed by the public service. Now, this individual was employed by the post office. So, following a disciplinary hearing, he was dismissed for bringing the post office into disrepute by his conduct. So he complained of unfair dismissal to an employment tribunal. They said it was an unfair dismissal because he had a very good employment record and that his misconduct was unrelated to his employment. So it went all the way up to the Court of Appeal, and the Court of Appeal said that the tribunal hadn't really addressed the central issue in this case, and that was whether or not it was reasonable for the post office to dismiss him because they believed his conduct had brought it into disrepute. So the Court of Appeal didn't actually decide it on that point itself, but they sent the case back to another tribunal to decide because they thought that bringing the organisation into disrepute, given that amount of press coverage, was a significant point. So generally, if events happen outside the workplace, employers, even if there's a conviction, employers can't just automatically dismiss. They've got to always conduct an investigation and consider the reasonableness. And for such a dismissal like that to be fair, they must be able to show that there was a genuine connection between the employee's offence and the employment. So that could be, say, the seniority of an employee or maybe the nature of their job.
Well, that's really interesting. And I suppose the key message there is due process needs to be followed.
Absolutely. And indeed, if any issue arises due to the World Cup, whether it be unauthorised absence or in being drunk at work, you've still got to follow the same procedures that you would do normally, investigation, and then always deciding as well, thinking of the conduct outside work actually, is there a lesser sanction than dismissal? Could you transfer someone to a different job? So it's just thinking of all the things that you would think of in other circumstances.
So we've covered an awful lot of things there, and I think you have provided some really good advice for employers. One of the things is if an employee has travelled to Russia and they've booked leave, but they're over there and their team happen to be doing better than expected, how should an employer approach an employee requesting leave with very little notice?
Well, that's right, because they may actually get some very late requests coming in because if their team progresses further than they thought. So they would really need to be dealing with it, as they would say at Christmas or any other time, dealing with competing requests. So say if somebody is in Russia and wants to stay longer, they would have to see if the business can accommodate that wouldn't then be unfair. You know, it's balancing competing requests in case there are other ones. And again, when they're considering any of those requests, you know, not taking into account gender or anything like that either, so that if anyone has a request that maybe isn't for the World Cup, that still should be treated equally as well.
So there's definitely issues there that employers need to consider when the World Cup tournament is ongoing. But the key message from all of this really is that it can be a fantastic time for employees, for the workplace, and that an employer can benefit an awful lot if it tries to tap into that.
Absolutely.
Thanks very much, Fiona. You've been listening to our Expert HR podcast on the Football World Cup. And if this has brought up any further issues for you, we have a wide variety of resources available on our Expert HR site. Thanks very much for listening, and please do join us again next time.